Praise be to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of our Master Muhammad and protect his Muslim nation from that which he fears for them. I ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to grant us the sincere intentions. Some events in the Prophet's early life. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about 5 years old when he went back to live with his mother and grandfather. Amina was very happy. Muhammad also had many uncles, the sons of Abdul Muttalib. His eldest uncle, Abu Talib, was very fond of him. His uncles Hamza and Al-Abbas were about his own age. These two uncles later embraced Islam. The dear mother of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Amina, died when the Prophet was 6 years old. She had taken her son to Medina, to the grave of his father, and on the way back, she died and was buried in a place called Abwa. His grandfather Abdul Muttalib then took charge of him. His grandfather was about 100 years old by that time, but he was still active. He took the small Muhammad with him where he went and gave him special attention. Abdul Muttalib died only 2 years after Amina. Then his uncle Abu Talib was entrusted with young Muhammad's care. Abu Talib made him part of his household, putting him ahead of his own children. There were no schools in Arabia at that time. Few people could read or write. Muhammad grew up not reading or writing. Yet, when Muhammad became a prophet, Allah revealed to him his book, full of knowledge and wisdom. He made this unlettered man the greatest teacher in the history of the world. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 12, he went with Abu Talib, who was a merchant, towards Asham land, the area of Lebanon, Jordan, Palestine, and Syria. A priest called Bahira saw Muhammad. He embraced him and offered him food. Then he uncovered Muhammad's back and looked for a mark between his shoulders, which he knew the last prophet would have. Bahira knew signs of the last prophet from the teachings of Prophet Jesus, which had been preserved. Bahira said to Abu Talib, "Your nephew has a very high status. Return with him to your hometown so they do not notice the signs that I noticed." Abu Talib hurriedly finished their trade and returned him to Mecca. After that, he did not travel with him, fearing for him. The trading and marriage of the Messenger of Allah. We know from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was a shepherd at some time in his life. For our Prophet said that every prophet tended sheep. Being a shepherd prepared the prophets for the great task of caring for and guiding people. When Rasulullah became 25 years old, he was known in Mecca by the name Al-Amin, the Trustworthy, because of the good traits which he had. Abu Talib was suffering from being quite poor. Hence, when an opportunity came for his nephew to make some money, Abu Talib encouraged him, although he feared for him. Trading was a point of pride for the people of Quraysh. Abu Talib said, "O nephew, I am a man with no money. We had bad years and we have no money and no trade. Here is the caravan of your people about to leave to Asham area. Khadija bint Khuwaylid is sending men from your people to trade for her and get some earnings. If you go to her and let her know you are available, she will prefer you to others because of what she has heard about your purity." The Messenger of Allah said that Khadija might send after him. Abu Talib said, "I worry that she would hire someone else." Khadija bint Khuwaylid was a trading woman with a high status. She made a lot of money from her business. She would send her goods to Asham. She used to hire men and give them money to invest and share the profits with them. Khadija knew of the dialogue between Muhammad and his uncle, and before that she had received news about the truthfulness, trustworthiness, and good manners of the Prophet. She said, "I did not know that he was interested in this." She sent after him. She said to him, "I received the news about your truthfulness, trustworthiness, and good manners. I will pay you double than any other man of your people. The Prophet agreed and told his uncle, Abu Talib said, This is sustenance that Allah gave to you. Prophet Muhammad set out with Khadija's servant Maysarah until they reached the Sham area in the market of Busra. Muhammad went under the shade of a tree close to the hut of a monk who knew Maysarah. The monk was called Nastura. Nastura asked, Who is this under the tree? Maysara told him, A man from Quraysh of Mecca. The monk told him, The one under that tree is a prophet. Then he asked Maysara, Does he have some redness in his eyes? Maysara said, Yes, it never leaves him. The monk said, He is the last prophet. I wish I would be alive when he is ordered to leave his city. Nastura knew this sign from his teachings. Maysara understood the words of Nastura. Then he went with the Messenger of Allah to the market of Busra and sold his goods. Maysara bought an item and had a difference between him and a man. The man swore by Al-Lat and Al-Uzza, two idols. The Messenger of Allah said, I never swore by them. The man said, This is true. Then he told Maysara privately, This is a prophet. Our clergy find his description in their books. Maysara understood these words. Then everyone left in the caravan. Maysara noticed a cloud over Muhammad, shading him when it was very hot. Maysara loved the Messenger of Allah and accompanied him as if he was the Messenger's slave. When the Prophet returned from the trip, he entered in Mecca at noon while Khadija was with some women. She saw him riding in with a cloud shading him. She showed that to her friends who were surprised. The Messenger of Allah told her about the prophets that they made and she was very happy. Then Maysara told her about the monk, the man in the marketplace and how Muhammad was shaded. The Messenger of Allah gave Khadija her goods. She profited twice as much as usual and she paid him twice as much as she mentioned earlier. She was a very honorable and intelligent woman, had a high status, and the most riches of all the women of Quraysh. Every man desired to marry her if he could. One of Lady Khadija's friends gave our Prophet a hint that Lady Khadija would accept a marriage proposal from our Prophet. So our Prophet Muhammad went to Lady Khadija's uncle with his uncle Hamza and proposed to her. The Prophet was 25 and she was 40. The children and household of our blessed Prophet and Lady Khadija. After his marriage to Lady Khadija, the young man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had comfort which was new to him. Although Khadija was at an age when a lot of women stop having children, she gave birth to 6 children for her husband. The first boy was named Al-Qasim, who died at a very young age. This was one of the many hardships which Prophet Muhammad and Lady Khadija would bear with beautiful patience. They had 4 daughters, Zainab, Ruqayyah, Ummu Kulthum, and Fatima. All of these children were born before Prophet Muhammad received revelation. It is said that their last child was a boy named Abdullah, and that he was born after our Prophet received revelation. This son also died at a young age, which made some evil people mock our Prophet, laughing about that he had no sons. They claimed that the Prophet would be forgotten due to having no sons. It is to be observed that their last son was born when Lady Khadija was past the age of 55, may Allah raise her exalted rank. Before receiving revelation, the Prophet gave some of his daughters in marriage. At the time when our Prophet received revelation, Fatima was still young and lived at home with her beloved parents. Also in the household were Ali, the son of Abu Talib, Zayd ibn Haritha, and Barakah. All of these people became great Muslims, dear companions of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these companions have interesting stories. Concerning our Lady Fatima, we ask Allah to bless her greatly. She became the best woman of her time. She was the only daughter of our Prophet who outlived him. She died 6 months after his death. She was a woman of a great faith, and as a young girl, she saw her father hurt so much by the blasphemers. She helped her blessed father in her own way and was very dear to him. She grew up to give birth to the beloved grandsons of our Prophet through her marriage with Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. Our Prophet wanted to help his uncle Abu Talib, who had helped him when he was a young orphan. This is the reason that Ali was raised in the Prophet's home. The Prophet offered to care for Ali to help Abu Talib with his financial problems. Al-Abbas, the brother of Abu Talib, took in his son Ja'far, and Abu Talib kept his son Aqil with him. Hence, Ali had the great blessing of being raised by the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ali was only 10 years old when the revelation came to his cousin, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Zayd ibn Haritha was a slave of Lady Khadija. She gave him to our Prophet, who later set him free. Although Zayd became free, he loved Muhammad so much that he wanted to stay living with him. Even when the true father of Zayd found that his son was alive, Zayd preferred to live with Muhammad rather than go with his real father. Seeing that, Prophet Muhammad adopted Zayd. He was thus called Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad, until Allah made adoption prohibited. He then was again called Zayd ibn Haritha. Baraka was, as we said earlier, the slave of our Prophet's father. She was a woman from East Africa. Our Prophet set her free. She continued to stay with the Prophet's household and enjoyed the great blessing of seeing the last Prophet grow up and become the greatest teacher of mankind. She continued to live close to the Prophet even after the immigration. Allah made her a woman of great faith, to the extent that He endowed an extraordinary event on her. For a reason, she had to emigrate from Mecca to Medina by herself. On her way to Medina, she became very thirsty. A short time later, she heard flapping of wings and saw a pitcher of water. She drank from that water, after which she never felt thirsty again. She married Zayd ibn Haritha, and they had a son, Usama, who was also very dear to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When our Prophet was 35, an incident occurred. It was the rebuilding of the Kaaba by Quraysh. This happened about 5 years before the revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The rebuilding of the Kaaba. As a young man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was known for his truthfulness and honesty. Instead of calling him Muhammad, many people called him As-Sadiq, the truthful, or Al-Amin, the trustworthy. When he said something, people believed him. They trusted him so much that they left their money and valuable things in his care. They knew he was fair and wise in dealing with difficult matters. Around this unique, fine young man, most people were in a state of moral decay. Wine drinking, fornication, and other bad matters were prevalent. Some Arabs were in the habit of burying their baby daughters alive. Tribes would back each other up with fierce loyalty, even when a member of the tribe was unjust. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a young man, floods damaged the Kaaba. The Arabs considered the Kaaba very holy and believed that a supplication made there would be answered. Quraysh decided to rebuild it. Taking part in its rebuilding was considered a great honor. The families of Quraysh tribe divided up the work and the Kaaba was soon rebuilt. Then came the time to set Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, in its place. The black stone was originally in paradise, then Allah made it come to earth. Since everyone wanted to have the honor of replacing the black stone, an argument began. Various members of Quraysh tribe were about to fight each other over it. For 4 days they quarreled. On the 5th day, an old man suggested, "Wait until the morning. Then let the first person who enters the masjid, a specific area surrounding the Kaaba, decide on the matter. So everyone agreed to this suggestion. Early the next morning, Muhammad was the first one to come to the Kaaba. Everyone was happy to see him. Here comes As-Sadiq, here comes Al-Amin, they said eagerly. They knew Muhammad would be a fair judge. He would do what was right and would bring peace. So they explained the problem to Muhammad. He listened to them carefully. Then he said, let each clan select a representative. The clans did what he asked. Then he spread his own mantle on the ground and placed the black stone on it. He asked all the representatives of Quraysh to take hold of the mantle and lift it up. When the mantle had been lifted high enough, Muhammad himself put the stone in its place. Receiving the revelation. All messengers are prophets, but not all prophets are messengers. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam became 40 years old, Allah made him both a prophet and messenger. All prophets are distinguished with receiving revelation from Allah. Messengers are prophets who also receive a new set of laws. The people must follow the laws given to the present messenger. In our prophet's case, he is the last messenger, and the laws given to him apply for all people until the day of judgment. The messenger before Prophet Muhammad was Prophet Jesus. Hence, the set of laws given to Prophet Muhammad replaced the previous set given to Prophet Jesus, just as the set of laws given to Prophet Jesus replaced the set of laws given to Prophet Moses, peace be upon all the blessed prophets. This replacement does not mean that all the laws were different. For example, Allah revealed to all the prophets that they and their followers must pray. But the number of times a day and details differed from one messenger to another to suit the time, according to Allah's wisdom. According to that, there is no need for a new set of laws after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus, Allah made him the last prophet and messenger. One of the companions asked our prophet about receiving revelation. The prophet said that sometimes it came to him like the ringing of a bell and that this was the heaviest on him. It would last until he knew all that Allah revealed. He said that sometimes an angel would come in the form of a man and talk with him, telling him what Allah ordered to be revealed. At times, the Prophet used to sweat when he received the revelation due to the heaviness of the matter. He would sweat even if it was a cold day. All of the Quran is revelation from Allah, received by Prophet Muhammad. As well, our Prophet received revelation which was not the Quran. Before our Prophet began to receive the Quran, he had dreams which became true. Before receiving the first Quranic revelation, he loved to go out of Mecca to the cave of Hira, where he worshipped Allah in solitude for many nights. Then he would come back to his home, take food and water, and return to the cave. One day, in the month of Ramadan, when our Prophet was 40, Angel Jibril came to Prophet Muhammad while he was in the cave. Angel Jibril told him to recite. The Prophet said that he had not learned what to recite. The angel repeated that three times. Each time, the Prophet said that he had not learned what to recite. Then the angel embraced the Prophet for a third time and released him. Then the angel gave the Prophet the first revelation of the Quran. Angel Jibril revealed the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These verses mean, recite starting with the name of your Lord, the creator of everything, the one who created man from a blood clot. O Muhammad, recite with the help of your Lord, who is the most generous and is clear of any defect, the one who enabled man to acquire knowledge through writing, and to acquire knowledge which men did not know. Shortly after the Prophet saw Angel Jibreel in the cave, Allah made Prophet Muhammad see Angel Jibreel in his real, original form, filling all the horizon. Wherever the Prophet looked, he saw this great angel. The Prophet fainted out of awe. Later, our Prophet related that he did not know before that time that Allah had created such a magnificent creation. Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.